Now I'll show you some scripture. Chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4. Now I'm not going to preach a regular message tonight. In other words, you know, you that hear me all the time know how I usually do, and I'm not going to do that tonight. I'm going to bring you about a half-teaching, half-preaching sermon on the subject of seven baptisms. And we're going to study what the Bible says about baptism tonight. And if you listen, you're going to know everything that you need to know about baptism. And matter of fact, you're going to know more than about 90% of the world. And if you want to take notes, I want to show you seven baptisms in the Bible and read you this scripture. And I'm going to say some things tonight probably maybe some of you have never heard before in your life, but it's good for you. Y'all believe the Bible. If you believe the Bible, then it may take you a while, but you'll see. I'm going to show you one thing or two tonight that goes completely against tradition. And the hardest thing you ever done as a Christian is to unlearn something you've been taught wrong. That's real hard. That's real hard. I've seen people showed them scripture right in front of their face. And they say, but I still believe. The hardest thing you ever done studying the Bible is get the junk that you've been taught wrong out of your head and take the Bible for what it says. That's hard. And you're an unusual person if you can do it. Most people can't do it. Most people, if they're taught something when they're 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 and up to they're 10, 11 years old, they can never change. They never can change. But I've noticed who God's blessed down through the years. I've looked at preachers. And I saw who God blesses is the person that will just say, if that book says it, then I'm going to believe it. It may go against me, my grandma, my papa, my mama, my daddy, my friends. It may go against, cut my own head off. But if God said it in that book, that's it. And you'll never go wrong with that attitude. Okay? So get your hearts open tonight, and let's look at seven baptisms in the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 4. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. You say, well, great day in the morning, Danny Castle. You've got through saying there's seven, and that verse right there says there's only one. You say, which is right? Both. There are seven. You said, this here scripture here says there's one baptism. That's right. It also says there's one faith. You believe that? Why, there's 10,000 faiths. Right? Why does the Bible say there's only one faith? See, now, that's what you got to learn something right there. The Bible says one faith. Why, great day, there's 30 in Marion. What about Jehovah's Witnesses? What about Mormons? What about Seventh-day Adventists? What about Christian Science? What about people who honor Buddha? What about Muslims? There's bunches of different faiths. That's not the same faith we are. You say, why does the Bible say there's one faith? There's only one that does you any good. Amen. There's many gods. Hold your finger there and turn to 1 Corinthians 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. We're going to dig a little bit tonight. We're going to do a Bible study. So if someone next to you does not have their Bible, share yours with them and pinch them. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 5. Though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or earth, as there be gods many and lords many. See? There's many gods, but only one true God. There's many lords, but only one true Lord. There's many faiths, but only one true faith. And there's many baptisms, seven as a matter of fact, but only one true baptism. And the baptism we're going to have tonight is a mere type of that one true baptism. You ready? All right. Here we go. Number one, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And while you're turning there, I will say this. The word baptize always, in dictionaries, in Bibles, in church history, the word baptize always means immerse. It always means immerse. It never means sprinkle.
It never means sprinkle. The word baptize itself. If I took my fist and I said, I'm going to baptize my fist, I wouldn't grab water like that and sprinkle it down on it. That's not baptism. Baptize means to put underneath something. Which means the Methodist Church is wrong on the doctrine of baptism. Nothing personal against Methodist. My job is to teach y'all the truth. And that's what I'm doing. In the Methodist Church, you get sprinkled. In the Presbyterian Church, it's you just like Burger King. You have it your way. They'll put you under and sprinkle water. And in other churches, they teach lots of different things about baptism. But if you want the truth tonight, you say, no, you're just saying that because you're in a Baptist church. Wrong. I'm a Baptist because of that. I'm not saying that because I'm a Baptist. I'm a Baptist because of that. A Baptist means that you baptize people, and baptize people means to put them underneath something. Go home and look it up in your dictionary. It means to immerse. It never means sprinkle. So and there's no babies ever baptized in the Bible. You know, they come up nowadays and say, well, I took my kid up and they throw water on its head. And then all that will do to your kid is make it sick. And give it a germ. That has nothing to do with its soul. That has absolutely nothing to do with its sins. And as a matter of fact, tonight, this water here has nothing to do with your sins. I'm going to just show you those seven baptisms this evening. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, you will see baptism number 1. You looking at it? 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant. Ain't that something? Did you know it's not God's will for you to be ignorant? Everywhere I go, I meet people that say, well, I just don't know nothing about the Bible. Like they're proud of it. It's not something to brag about. Now listen, it is not a sin to be ignorant, but it is a sin to stay ignorant. Like one old fellow said, I just keep getting ignoranter and ignoranter. That's wrong. You can't help it at first, but you can learn. One old country preacher said, if ignorance is bliss, I'm a blizzard. But I tell you, that's not, God said there in the Bible, I don't want you to be ignorant. I do not want you to be ignorant. You say, how do you keep from being ignorant? You study. You get your Bible down and read it and see what it says. All right? How that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Israel's baptism through the Red Sea is the first baptism in the Word of God. Now, everybody knows that. When the Israel came out of Egypt there, God parted the Red Sea. They had water under them, water on both sides of them, water above them in the cloud, and they went through that. That was a picture of baptism. Everybody got that. Everybody understand that. That was a picture in the Old Testament of baptism when Israel went through the Red Sea. Number two. Let me show you the second one tonight. Now we're going to get a little bit more complicated. Matthew chapter 3 and in the New Testament. And this is what we call in churches and in preaching and theology. We call this the baptism of John. Now look at Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 1. This is what's called in the Bible the baptism of John. Now John was called John the Baptist. And you say, well, Brother Danny, you think everybody ought to be a Baptist? Well, I don't care if you are or not. It, you know, makes no difference to me personally. But I know what the Bible called John here. It said John the Baptist. And Brother John the Baptist was called John the Baptist for a reason. And it was because John had a baptism, and it was a baptism of water unto repentance. Verse number 1, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying what? Repent. You got that? What did it say John said? Repent. And the kingdom of heaven is at hand, for this is he that was spoken of the prophet Isaiah, voice of one crying in the wilderness, makes, you know, the way of the Lord's straight. Now, verse number 5. And they went out to him, Jerusalem and Judea, and the region round about, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sin. That's what we know as the baptism of John. Well, according to the book of Acts, the Bible tells us that John the Baptist baptized with water unto repentance, saying what? That they should believe on him that was coming later. The people here in Matthew chapter 3 had a special baptism. John the Baptist took those Pharisees down there, said, listen, guys, the Messiah's coming. You boys better straighten up your act. And they said, what do you want us to do? He said, get down here and confess your sins and get in this water. And he went down there. He didn't say Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The Son hadn't even got there yet. He didn't say in the name of Jesus. The Lord Jesus hadn't even come on the scene yet. He just took them down and said, you confess your sin? They said, yep. He put them down in the water and brought them back up. They repented. That's all they knew. That is a water baptism of John the Baptist. Baptism number two. Baptism number three. This one's going to get more complicated. That's the baptism of fire. Stay there in Matthew chapter 3 there. If you're taking notes, write down the baptism of fire. Now all my life, when I first got saved, I heard them old folks sing them songs, and they'd say, it don't matter how you get the water, just as long as you get the fire. And you know, I was taught ever since I got saved that the baptism of fire meant when God baptized you with His power. And we said, oh boy, we're praying. You got whole denominations all over the country, especially Assembly of God, Church of God, Full Gospel, those type of denominations that are praying for the baptism of fire. But you don't want to pray for the baptism of fire. You say, why? Why in the world would you want to be in fire? You say, well, it means power. I beg your pardon. Let's look at it closely tonight. Now, here's where I'm going to knock tradition, and here's where I'm going to cut grain with about 95% of Baptist churches, and here's where you're going to hear some of that terrible heresy. But let's just check it out and see what the book says. Amen? Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. John talking. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I. Talking about Jesus, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now from time immemorial, people have sung songs and beat tambourines and begged God to baptize them with the Holy Ghost and fire. We'll get to that Holy Ghost baptism in just a moment. But let's see tonight what that's expressing. I always thought that. Matter of fact, there's a friend of mine, got me down one time several years ago, and he said, Brother Danny, he's a preacher friend of mine from right here in Marion. He got me down and he said, you know what that baptism of fire means right there? And I said, yeah, it means the power of God. And he said, no, it don't. And I said, you're crazy. And me and him argued for hours. I argued to that boy till I was blue in the face. I said, you're wrong. That means fire. I know it means power. Well, I preached for years, God send the fire. God send the fire. God send the fire. And of course, God knew what I meant when I said it. But boy, you know what? That thing began to soak on me and on me about 6 months later. And every time I'd go back and read that scripture, I'd get a little bit under conviction. And it took about a year for me to change my mind. Because I'm hard-headed, like some of you. And if I believe something, and somebody comes against my belief, I say, there's something inside me starts going, beep, 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 beep. It's wrong! But you know what I made up my mind years and years ago? God, if I have to eat my words, God, if I have to say I'm wrong, God, if I have to tell my kids I'm wrong, God, if I have to tell my church I'm wrong, if your book says it and you show it to me in this book, then I know I'll come out on top one of these days at the judgment by standing on what this book says. You ready? I'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I'm going to give you three reasons why it's real likely, almost dead, absolute certain, that the fire baptism spoke of here is the lake of fire. I'm going to give you three reasons. Number one, you can't give me one reason why it's not. Not one. I'm going to give you three reasons. Number one, this is deep now. The reason it means fire is because it says fire. Amen? Did you get that? The Bible's not hard to understand. It's hard to believe. What does it say? It says fire, don't it? Does it say power? Acts chapter 1 says, ye shall receive power. You say, preacher, what about over in Acts chapter 2 where the Holy Ghost come down? And that said those tongues were like as of fire. You read that, didn't you? It said like fire. That wasn't real fire. This don't say like fire. It says fire. Reason number one, you reason you know it's fire, hell fire? Because it says fire. Reason number two, John was preaching to saved and lost people. So if I got a crowd of people right here that I'm preaching to, and I say, you're going to get baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire, that would be right, right? Some of them getting baptized with the Holy Ghost, rest of them going to hell. Amen? You say, I've never heard that in my life. I don't expect you to believe it tonight. It'll take you about a year. Number three. Are you listening? Let's read the context. You should never take a scripture out of its context. What is the context of Matthew chapter 3? Remember? Verse 7. Now let's look at the context. With an open heart, look at the context. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said, O generation of what? Vipers, brother. Them people wasn't going to get baptized with no Holy Ghost. They was vipers. They was lost people. He called them snakes. What if you took the average First Baptist Church in Asheville and the preacher got up next Sunday morning and said, all right, you bunch of snakes. They'd run him out of town. They'd kill him. That's what John the Baptist told his congregation. He got his head cut off a little bit later on for preaching like that. But God blessed him and he had a new one before his toes quit wiggling. But I'll tell you something, what he said. He said, you bunch of vipers, old generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the what? Wrath, brother. We're discussing the wrath of God right there in that verse. What the wrath of God is? It's a lake of fire. Verse number 8. He said, you boys ain't repenting. Verse number 9. Don't you think just because you're Abraham's seed that you're going to be saved. Verse 10. And now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the what? Is that the power of God? Of course not. So we see that fire in verse 10 means fire. The lake of fire at the last judgment. Then the verse that I've been reading to you. Now let's read 11 and then go right on into 12. Everybody look at it with me. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. But the sentence doesn't end there. Whose fan is in his hand. And he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, first bunch. And he'll burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire, second bunch. Anybody have any problem seeing that? Anybody have any problem seeing that? Now you trying to tell me that fire in 11, fire in 10 means fire, and fire in 12 means fire, and fire in 11 means power? That's out of context. One more argument I've got for you. I don't expect a lot of you to believe because you've never heard it before, and it's rough. It's rough. I argued with this boy. We was going to Myrtle, Mississippi out of Camp Zion, and I argued with him halfway out there. I said, that's the craziest thing I've heard of in my life. And boy, little by little, God started saying, hey, look at it, son. Look at it, son. And here's the clincher. Acts chapter 1. Turn in your Bible to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. These verses are quoted twice in the book of Acts, quoting John the Baptist's introduction of the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 1. This time the audience is saved people, no lost people. Verse 5. For John, look at verse 4. Saith he, ye have heard of me. You're going to get the promise. Verse 5. For John, this is the Apostle Luke writing on the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. No fire. Do you reckon Luke forgot to mention fire? Do you reckon he thought it wasn't important? Why didn't Luke include fire here? He's quoting that scripture that John made, baptize the Holy Ghost in fire. You say, was he really? Turn to chapter 11, and I'll guarantee you he was here. Acts chapter 11. Notice how the Holy Spirit can slice a verse right in half to make it teach correct doctrine in that King James Bible. Acts chapter 11 and verse number 15. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, as on us at the beginning in chapter 2. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. No what? No fire. Why didn't Peter say it here? Why didn't Peter say, John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire?
Didn't mention the fire. He just said water.
So the third baptism is what we call the baptism of fire. Now, that's the fire of Malachi chapter 4 and 2 Thessalonians chapter 1-2, where that the Lord comes back at the second advent. And did you know what people go into in eternity? They go into a lake. When you can get baptized in the Holy Ghost of God into Jesus Christ, get into a real lake, or go into another lake one of these days made out of fire and get baptized. All right, number 4, Matthew chapter 20. We're over the hard part. Matthew chapter 20, this is Christ's baptism of death on the cross. Matthew chapter 20, and here's an entirely different baptism in the Word of God. You say, why does Ephesians say there's only one baptism? I'll show you in just a few minutes, and we'll get these folks ready to go in here. Matthew chapter number 20, Christ's baptism of death on the cross. Matthew chapter 20, and verse number 22. But Jesus answered and said, ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they say, we are able. Verse 23, and then he saith unto them, ye shall, future, drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. Now, notice he said future. Jesus and these people he is talking to had already been baptized in water. So this is another baptism. He wasn't talking about him getting in water like we're going to have here tonight. He's talking about his death on the cross, going and being buried and coming up out of that grave. His death baptism. Now, let me show you something. Everybody knows that when Jesus died, they put him in the tomb. He was under the ground. It was completely surrounding him. He was baptized in that tomb. He came out of the tomb the third day, right? Everybody knows that, right? Amen. Everybody that knows much about the Bible knows that Christ was buried in the tomb. He was baptized in the tomb. Now, here's the way you know the Baptist doctrine of baptism is right. Because the death of Christ pictured that real baptism. Now, listen. So when Jesus Christ goes into the tomb, he's put in the ground, ground's all around him. It's a picture. He's down. He's up like this. He lays down like this. He comes up like this. He's covered when he's down there. He comes up out of the ground. Everybody got that? That's a picture of what we're going to do here tonight. When these kids and these young people and these teenagers come out here tonight, what they're going to be doing, they're going to be a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Everybody understand that? Now listen, you know that sprinkling ain't right. Nothing against the Methodist Church, nothing at all. None at all. No personal hard feelings at all. But you know that's wrong. Because when Jesus died, they didn't take him over and lay him up against a tree and sprinkle dirt on his head. Amen. You're a little weak. I worry when your amens have to get crutches to get up here where I can hear them. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. Honest to the Lord, I'm not. But I've got to teach him the truth. That's my job. I'll answer to God one day if I don't. They didn't take him over here and say, all right, he's going to be baptized in death. Sprinkle a little dirt on his head. He went down in. He went in the dirt. He came back up out of the dirt. That's Christ's death baptism. All right, baptism number 5, Acts chapter 2. It's another rough one here. This is what we call the Jewish baptism. Acts 2:38, the most famous verse in the world for what denomination? Somebody tell me. Church of Christ. You got it. Somebody said, what's the difference between a Church of Christ and a Baptist church? I'm getting ready to show you right now. This is a major difference. You have whole denominations built on this doctrine of Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Now listen, you got to keep in mind where we are. You just come out of the Old Testament. All they had was the Old Testament. Jesus Christ shows up, he's the Messiah. They crucify him and hang him on a tree. He rises from the dead, goes back to heaven, and here's all these Jews saying, what should we do? And Peter jumps up to a Jewish congregation and he says, hey, you go down there and get baptized in the name of that man you nailed on that tree for the remission of your sins. Not forgiveness. Not to get saved. For the remission of sin. Don't make the Bible say something it don't say. Now here's what makes the Church of Christ and a lot of the holiness groups teach that a person has to get baptized before they can go to heaven. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, talking to the Jews, verse 9, for the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. All right, why don't we do that? He told them people right there, get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. We don't baptize in the name of Jesus Christ. Whose name we baptize in? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You saw Brother Danny that right there? You've got a Jewish baptism here for Jews who just rejected the Messiah and nailed him to a cross. See? All right, let me say this. You do not get baptized in water to get your sins forgiven. As a matter of fact, if your sins are not already forgiven, you have no business being baptized. You can get baptized as many times the tadpoles know your social security number. But the Lord ain't done something in your heart. You're not going to heaven when you die. By the way, let me ask you this. We've got a lot of people here tonight. Maybe you've never been to church much. Let me ask you this. If somebody walks up to you on Main Street in Marion tomorrow and says, sir, are you saved? And the first thing you think of is when you got baptized, there's something wrong in your heart. If that's all you've got to go on, you got Marion's full of people. You say, are you a Christian? Well, I was baptized when I was 10 years old. So what? That don't mean nothing. Hippies baptized at pool parties. That's right. We baptized each other a lot of times before I ever got saved. Playing around, playing chicken, riding on each other's shoulder like the drowned them time or two. Getting baptized in water does not wash your sins away. You say, what does? Let's move on a little farther. Number 6, Acts chapter 10. Here's ours right here. This is Gentile baptism. Acts chapter 10. What I just showed you was a Jewish baptism. In Acts chapter 10, you see a Gentile baptism. That's what me and you are. We're Gentiles. Acts chapter number 10, verse 47. Look here at Acts chapter 10, verse 47. These people got saved, and Peter said, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? There you go. People, it's already been saved, already got the Holy Ghost. You do not get the Holy Ghost when you get baptized in water. You're supposed to already have the Holy Ghost inside you. I know I could stir up World War III if we had different groups here tonight. What I just got through saying would cause blood to be shed, brother, if you had major denominations here tonight. The reason they don't understand that, they do not understand the difference between God's dealing with Israel and God's dealing with Jews or Gentiles in the church. All right, that's us. You know where we get it? We get it from Matthew 28. You know what Jesus said in Matthew 28? Go into all the world and teach Jews, right? That ain't what he said. Go on the world and teach what? All nations. That's us. Teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and you have these people. How many of you have ever had somebody tell you that you were baptized wrong because you were baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Raise your hand. All right, there's about 20 people in here. They teach they're what you call Jesus only. And they say that everything you do it in the name of Jesus. But you don't have to worry about that because you get Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, you get the Son, that's Jesus. So even if you do have to have His name, we got it. And we got the Holy Ghost and we got the Father. Ain't nothing wrong with saying all three of them. You know the reason ain't nothing wrong with it? Because that's the way Jesus said to do it. All right. One more. And this is the one that counts. And that's Holy Spirit baptism. 1 Corinthians chapter 12.
1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, all that Gentile water baptism is that we're going to have tonight is an outward show to the world, something that's already taken place in your heart. It does not save you. It is showing to the world, my old man is dead. He's gone down the river somewhere. This ain't a river, but you can say down the drain. My old life has gone down the drain, and I'm a new person and going to live a new life. Think you can handle that? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all, that's all Christian people in the context there, baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and but all make drink that one Spirit. Got it right there. That's Gentile or Jew, baptism of the Holy Ghost, putting you into the body of Christ. Ready?
Have you ever had somebody come up to you and they said, well, you've been saved now for a little while. Have you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost? All right. Cloud and some other, now what those major denominations, some of them teach, is that you get saved, then a little bit later on, you get the Holy Spirit, and then a little bit later on, you get saved, then you get sanctified, then you get filled with the Holy Ghost, and you have it in two or three steps. But the second God saves you, the Holy Spirit of God, according to this verse that I just read, baptizes you into the body of Jesus Christ, and every Christian has been baptized with the Holy Ghost and can be filled bunches and bunches of times. See, every day you're supposed to say, God, fill me with your Spirit, but you're only baptized in the Holy Spirit one time into the body of Christ. Okay, you got that. Alrighty, turn to Hebrews chapter 6. We'll wind it up. Hebrews chapter 6. Now, the problem that a lot of denominations have is every time they see baptism, they think it means water. And every time they see water, they think it means baptism. But sometimes baptism means Holy Ghost baptism, not water baptism. And sometimes water does not mean baptism. Okay? I'll show you a verse of Scripture where it splits it in two. In just a second, if you want me to. Hebrews chapter 6. Therefore, excuse me, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, that means you grow up. You know, you've been saved all these years. It's time to grow up a little bit. Don't be a baby in the Bible. Let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God of the doctrine of baptisms, plural. That's what I just got through showing you tonight. The doctrine of baptisms. That's what we've been studying here. Now, why does it say here doctrine of baptisms, plural, and Ephesians only says there's one baptism? Alright, you got your checklist here now. I'm going to go over this. The doctrine of baptisms consists of seven baptisms. Number one, number two, and number five are not in this dispensation. Number four was essential to our salvation. But it's not our baptism. Somebody says, you have to be baptized to get saved. This one had to happen. Jesus' baptism of death. That was essential to all of us, our salvation. You got that? Our baptism is number seven, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, of which all the other six are types. All right, Romans 6, and this will be the last scripture. Romans chapter 6. This scripture used to bother me because I thought it meant you had to be baptized in water to be saved. I mean, it sure does sound like it. But remember, when it says baptism, it don't always mean baptism in water. All right, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Verse number 3. Know ye not that so many as of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ. Which one's that? Holy Ghost baptism. Gotta be. It puts you into Christ. Holy Ghost baptism. We're baptized into His death. Verse 4. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death. That is water. That ain't Holy Ghost. Verse 3 is Holy Ghost. Verse 4 is water. You say, how do you know? Because that like as Christ was raised from the dead, even though after that baptism, me and you should walk in newness of life.
Now, see, that's a complicated subject. That's a complicated subject. If that's not right, then that verse is teaching a person has to be baptized in water to be saved, and that's not right. What if a man's out on the desert and ain't no water? And you go up and say, sir, would you like to be saved? And he said, I sure would. I'm dying of thirst and I'm having a heart attack. Can you tell me how to be saved? If a lot of denominations would have to look at that guy and say, sorry, son, you got to go to hell. There ain't no water. Now, I don't believe that, do you? How many of y'all believe a man can get saved out in the desert? Sure he can. You know somebody can get saved out on the desert. So that means water does not save you. I heard not long ago of a man, I believe he's right here in Marion. He was 80 years old when he got saved. And I believe he got saved on Monday night. And he was going to go to church that Sunday and get baptized. And boy, word got out, and praise God, he got saved. And everybody was talking about it, how wonderful it was. And on Wednesday, he died. Reckon where he went. He went to heaven, didn't he? He never did get in the water. He didn't get in no water, but he went to heaven. There's been a lot of people that didn't get in the water that went to hell, heaven, and there's been a lot of people who did get in water went to hell. Got ahead of myself there. A lot of people have been in the water that don't go to heaven, and a lot of people ain't been in the water that don't go to hell. Right? Amen. That's right. So, in conclusion, getting baptized here in water tonight is a simple picture of Christ's death, burial, resurrection, and is a picture of what the Holy Spirit has already done to you, putting you into the body of Christ. Okay? All right. God bless you. Now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get everything ready here, and while we're going to sing, have some singing, and I want to ask Rita, could you sing that song you sung over at that revival that night? She had no idea I was going to do that. Well, I forgot what it was about. It was The Unseen Hand or something like that. You know, if you're into revival in Asheville, I thought she really done a great job on that. You know what you're talking about? Yeah, come morning. Kathy can play that for you. Come morning, we'll walk by the river. Come on, sister. I knew this sister for a long time. She's been a blessing to me. And I'm going to have her come and sing this. And I want everybody who's to be baptized to go ahead and be getting into the rooms, and we'll be getting ready, okay? The men will be on this side, the ladies will be on this side, and we'll be getting ready here in just a moment, okay? They're going to move the pulpit, so if you don't mind. Yeah, that'd be okay. No, they can't hear you. Take this one right here.
God's children. Oh,
We'd like to ask the Parkers if they would come sing some. So now while we're just about ready.
I'm saved. I'd be born again. Wash me clean.